Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Lecture 27. Prince Henry the Navigator and Portuguese Exploration is our theme today. As we work our way closer to the discovery of America by Europeans, and we get well acquainted with those people who are going to globalize the world and shape it into the one that we find around us today. And so rather than race through the facts practice today, sometimes it's a good idea to literally talk about those facts again, and instead of racing, more just kind of think them through a little bit and remind ourselves of the big picture of the story we are studying. So let's talk about these things. Let's talk about number one on facts practice 1B. And how that's connected to what we're doing now, and how that's connected to where we live now. So, what are the answers to facts practice 1B here? Number one, Patrick. Who, what, where, and when? Go ahead.
Menes Narmer rules Egypt in circa 3000 BC.
Okay, there we go. So we know what is the big deal about Menes Narmer ruling Egypt in 3000 BC. What does that have to do with Prince Henry the Navigator of Portugal today and Christopher Columbus on Monday? What is the big deal? What's the connection? What's the so what of Menes Narmer in 3000 BC? Okay, who can answer that part, which is not on the facts practice? Yeah, Abby's usually pretty good about answering the so what, but I sure would like to see some other hands going up about the so what. So, Patrick, you want to try that one? What do you think? Who cares about the Menes Narmer? So what? No, that hand went up a little prematurely, I can tell. You're not so comfortable with that one. Okay, Caleb, how about you?
Since then, having kings was normal.
Having kings is normal to people throughout history. Okay, Prince Henry. Did Prince Henry, the Navigator of Portugal, did he have a king? Pretty easy answer, that one. Abby?
Yes.
Okay, yes, without an echo. Wow, you got two connections there, Abby. Maybe you need to kill one of them. Okay, so, yes, Prince Henry had a king. He was part of the royal family of Portugal. Okay, what about Columbus? Who knows what was the name of the queen that he had to get permission from in order to go and try to find a new world, Patrick?
Queen Isabella.
Queen Isabella of Castile, right. Okay, so Columbus had a king. All right, so having kings is normal in history. How normal? 5,000 years worth of normal. Okay, all the way back to 3000 BC. That's why it matters for us to know about Menes Narmer. For us to get a good, clear picture of what kind of people are living in history. And we're not going to expect Columbus, for instance, to be worried about democracy, are we? Are we going to be thinking that Prince Henry is going to be going around the world and telling people about a republic? No. They're going to be the people that they are in the places that they lived, in the way that they lived. And we need to understand this about them. And so we're going to see, for instance, that Prince Henry and Columbus and other people from Europe that are going to go out into the world and explore it, they're not always going to act in ways that we wish they would have acted, that we think would be nice or that we think would be right, because they didn't live when we live. They didn't have the ideas that we have. And so it's very important to understand that this right here in the picture, one man taking a big stick and hitting another one, that sadly is normal. That happens from the beginning of history all the way through history. And becoming civilized as we like to think we are today, and mostly we are, becoming civilized where we don't kill each other over our religion or differences of belief, where we don't kill each other in order to get wealth, where we don't do all these terrible things to each other. You know what? That's really new and special. We need to really understand that this is a wonderful time to be alive because of that. Understanding that Manas Narmer is the beginning of history and that history is full of people like him, that's the so what. That's why we need to know about Manas Narmer. And that's also why we need to study things like ancient history and European history more closely in other years of History at Our House in order to really see that. To see that that's the case. It's not just Menes. It's other kings. Like, you guys have probably heard of Egyptian pharaohs like King Tut. Right? That's a famous Egyptian pharaoh. Maybe some of you have heard of an ancient Mesopotamian king called Hammurabi. Maybe you've heard of him and his laws. Maybe you've heard of an ancient French king called Louis, Saint Louis. There's a city in America named after him. And maybe you've heard of other kings, right? And queens. They're everywhere in history. It's normal for people to live that way in history. Okay. So that's why we want to have a sense of that by saying 3000 BC we had kings? When did people ever think not to have kings? When did they ever come up with that? Who was so wonderful as to think about it? Thank you, thank you, thank you, those folks. Who were they? Abby.
The Athenians.
Abby, I'm sorry. I won't be able to have you answer questions today because your sound is amazingly wild and distorted. Because you've got two connections, Abby, by accident. I don't know what to do for you. So, Gurney, go ahead.
The Athenians and the Romans.
Thank you for the Athenians and the Romans, especially the earlier ones, the earliest ones, because they were the ones who came up with forms of freedom and other wonderful things, which we are going to see today. Okay, great. So let's stop there for the time being, right? But the so what here is that the past is full of this information that helps us to understand how wonderful our world is, and how special it is, and America especially. So that's why we learn these facts. Okay, so we're coming closer now. We're coming out of the Dark Ages, and we're coming closer to the world that we live in, thanks to a few people who are going to do some special things. We know Columbus is one of them, but before him was a man named Prince Henry the Navigator of Portugal. So where is Prince Henry? Here he is. Prince Henry of Portugal. He was a duke. So he was part of the royal family of the King of Portugal, and he was a duke. And he was just like the other people of the Dark Ages in some ways. When he was thinking about how to make his country stronger and wealthier, he really only had two ideas, like pretty much everybody else around him. What were the two ideas in the Dark Ages for how you can make your country, how you can gain wealth? Even if you're an individual, but also if you are trying to have a country that's wealthier than other countries and therefore more powerful. What were the two ideas for how you can gain wealth? So, Wyatt or Henry, go ahead.
I think I know why. Oh. Basically, go over, kill the enemy, take everything, basically sack the enemy.
Okay, that's number one. Take it from somebody else. The classic barbarian approach. Okay, and well, all right, but there's another way that the people of Europe were learning more and more about in the Dark Ages. They didn't do a lot of it in the Dark Ages, which is one of the reasons why they were so poor. But they were starting to learn how to do this other approach to getting more money. Rosetta?
Trade.
Right. And in particular, in trading relationships, if you observed how they worked, So I'm taking you to another window here. Such as this wonderful trading relationship, this very small one, but nonetheless fascinating and delightful, this Silk Road, where the silk from China was going to Europe, right? Which is why they called it that. So on this trading relationship, what you wanted to do here, if you weren't from China and you didn't know how to make silk, what did you want to do? What was a way to make money, even if you weren't a person who could make something? Now, Sigourney and Anna and everybody are saying trade, but how did that work? What was the trick to being the winner in trade? How did they think of it? This leads to our dilemma here. So, Sigourney, keep going.
They charge a high price.
Yes, indeed. By, as Dana is saying, being what?
The middleman.
Okay, buying from one person at a low price and then selling it to somebody else at a higher price, right? As much as you can, right? Because in trade, that's what you try to do. You try to bargain and you try to get as much money as you can. Nemo, put your hand down unless you have a pressing issue here. All right, so these were the two ideas. You take wealth or you trade it. And when you trade it, you take advantage of the fact that you could usually buy it for less and sell it for more, and that way you get a little left over at the end, right? Okay, so, but our dilemma that we were left with the other day was, Portugal's not even on this map, right? It's kind of way over in the corner. How was Portugal going to do one of those two things? We know Portugal was involved in what? 800 years war to take back some of the wealth that they would like to have that other people had taken from them. What was this 800 years war? I'm going to risk one more time letting Abby answer with the audio.
Reconquista.
Reconquista. Very good. Okay. Because of the Reconquista, Portugal had two worst enemies forever. What were they? France had pretty much one worst enemy forever, we know, because of the 100 years war. But Portugal had two worst enemies forever. What were they, Wyatt?
They were the Muslims and also Spain.
Okay, good. Two. The Muslims, because they were the conquerors of a different religion than them who had come from Africa. So they were definitely worst enemies forever. But also Spain, these other Christians that they couldn't get along with and didn't want to live with. And so we're way over here, way, way on the end of things. How is a country like Portugal going to deal with these worst enemies forever, become rich in trade or taking of things? Well, we saw last time that, the story begins of Prince Henry and his part of history, when the Portuguese went from Portugal to this place right here, Ceuta, in northern Africa. And which one did they use? Which technique did they use there for getting wealth? The classic barbarian technique, right, Abby? Which is?
Being the middleman.
No, in this case, no. Kill and steal. Take it away from somebody that you hate. All right, that's the classic barbarian method. All right, which is really sad. Okay, but then, Abby, the second thing that happened was the Portuguese learned well enough, I think they already knew beforehand, but learned even better afterwards, that they could be a middleman inside the trade of Africa over here at Ceuta as well. Now, that wasn't all that special. There wasn't a lot of wealth to go around, but better than nothing, better than not having it. So the idea of being a middleman was kind of interesting to Prince Henry of Portugal, and he was trying to imagine, how can we become a middleman in some more special way than this? Is there a way for us? He became inspired by things like the stories of Marco Polo and other information that he had to imagine that maybe, let me take you over here to my zoomed in map, maybe somehow Portugal over here, right? There's Portugal in green, Okay? Portugal over here could become a middleman between Europe and China. Okay, but how? How does it make any sense? How could this be? How did he come to this strange idea? It definitely was not a normal idea. It was definitely not an idea of the Dark Ages. It turns out that his idea was an idea of the Renaissance. Oh, all right, this is going to get exciting now. It was a Renaissance idea. Because Prince Henry, like other people in the Renaissance, were reviving the science of geography along with the art of exploration. And, of course, we know who had invented it in the first place. Who was responsible for the birth of the things that were being reborn in the Renaissance? Who was it? Rosetta.
The Greeks and the Romans.
Greeks and the Romans, and mainly the Greeks. The Romans get some credit, yeah, but mostly it was the Greeks. And there was a Greek geographer from ancient times named Ptolemy, and I'm going to go and show you a map that he had made of the world. Actually, I'm going to have to make this map even bigger, so let's see what I can do with that. There we go. All right, this was a map of the world from ancient times. Now, it's a little bit hard to decipher, but I've numbered some of the features for you to help figure out where it is. And I want everybody to find, well, you don't have to find it, I'll show you where it is. Number one over here, so that we can think more clearly about this ancient map of the world. What's number one on this ancient map? Up here, what is it? It's a little bit crooked. It's got a twisted ankle. Anna, what is it?
It's Italy.
It's Italy. It's the boot of Italy with somebody with a sprained ankle. Okay. So, yeah, it wasn't exactly right, was it? What's this island over here, number two? Up here. What's that? Even though it's not drawn very well. Right? What's that going to be? Henry, Wyatt?
This is Wyatt Hill, Italy.
Britain. Okay, right. Good. Okay. And number three would be France. Okay, what's this number five over here? What two countries are part of number five? Nemo, please.
Spain and Portugal.
Spain and Portugal. So it's a little bit hard to see, but this corner over here of our world map, ancient world map, is Europe. It's a little bit off. But good, most of you guys are able to see some of these important things. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 there is good examples of it. Okay, what's this continent down here marked with 8 and 9 that I've put? What's this continent down here? Anna says Africa. I would rather have hands risen than chatted, okay? What's this continent over here with number 11? Dana?
Asia.
Asia. Right, okay. And in particular, 11 here would be India, although it's not shown very well. Okay? All right, so let's see. So this was what the ancient Greeks understood about the world. Question, Patrick?
I thought that there was a 7.
There is a 7 over here, which is the Atlantic Ocean. Okay, I'm skipping a little bit. Okay? So yeah, if there's something you really, really want to know about, let me know. But over here, we got something that I haven't talked about here. But this is a map about how well the ancient Greeks understood the world. So did the ancient Greeks know about America? No, of course not, right? We don't have that knowledge yet. Did they really know about Africa? Well, it's kind of weird, isn't it? What's going on over here? What did they not know about Africa? Is this the shape of Africa? You know? What's wrong with this, Jeremy?
Well, something that I know that it got wrong is that Africa is much bigger than that.
Yes, true, but in a specific way, isn't it? The Greeks thought of Africa as kind of curling around here and being the end of the world, didn't they? Where's the end of it? They didn't really know how big it was. And what about Asia also, right? They didn't quite understand how this all worked over here because it's too far away and they really didn't know much. But they were trying to come up with a way of describing the entire surface of the Earth. This is the science of geography, which is very difficult to do because the Earth is so big and you have to really have a good way of thinking about how to put it on a piece of paper. It's not easy to do. And so this knowledge that the Greeks accumulated, they only got so far. And then things kind of stalled after that. In the Dark Ages, people didn't really learn any geography, unfortunately, like so many other things. Except the Muslims of the Middle East, actually, who were still living in this area right here, right? We have Arabia, where Islam began. And we have people living in this area. We're sailing in both in the Mediterranean and in the Indian Ocean. And there was a Muslim geographer that had made a map of the world a little bit later on as well. And this is kind of a fascinating map. Let me zoom in on it just the right amount. It's pretty hard to see because it's kind of squiggly and it's not as good as the ancient Greek one. But if you want to find Italy, it's right here. Okay? It looks more like a really crooked, three times broken leg, and not just sprained, right? But anyway, and the Muslim geographers didn't know about England, but they knew about Spain over here and Portugal, right? And they knew about their own places like Arabia, right? But it's not a very good map, except there's something very interesting about this map that's different from Ptolemy's map from ancient Greece. And it has to do with Africa. What do you notice about Africa on this map that's different? I'm going to give you a quick hint. I think Patrick can see it. Africa here and Africa here. What's going on that's different, Patrick?
It seems like it's kind of big, but there's, on the other hand, there's also no curve on the left.
Well, I'm not sure what curve you're expecting to be there, but there's something else that's really crucially different. All right, so let's see. You're on the right track. Nemo, what's different?
It seems to go on forever.
Well, no, it doesn't. That's the thing, is it's really big, but it doesn't go on forever. It has an edge, and guess what you could do if you start over here in Portugal? You could get in a boat. It's going to take a while, isn't it? Okay, it's pretty big. It's awfully big. But what's all this? This blue stuff is water. It's water. Oh, and look at where you can go. Look where you end up on water. Huh. You go around Africa, and where do you end up? I know it's hard to recognize it, but what is this in the understanding of the world that people had, Abby?
China.
Yeah. All right. So you can go around Africa, maybe. Now, did they know for sure? Is this really what Africa looks like? Is this really what Africa looks like? Patrick knows very well that it's not, right? So if I go, for instance, back to our real world map, this is what Africa looks like, right? Including this gray part, which they didn't know yet. So what they were saying was, based on what the Muslim geographer kind of was hinting at, was they were thinking that you could do this. Aha! All right, now as it turns out, it's going to be a lot harder than that. But they were thinking that maybe you could. And so Prince Henry was really interested in this problem of geography. Okay? Because there was a hint that maybe you could get around Africa and go to China. Now, can anybody guess how Portugal is going to become the middleman? Portugal is in a very special place, as it turns out. Just a sec. It's really in a very special place. So, especially if we look at this map. But you know what? Let's look at our real map of the world, right? If you want to go from Europe Okay? If you want to be a middleman from Europe to China, those are the two places you want to connect. Now, we already know that the middlemen were already here, right? Our Muslim middlemen are here in the middle. Another one's in here, another one's in here along the Silk Route, right? But is there another way to become the middleman? Abby?
You can go into Africa.
Not into, because that's a huge Sahara Desert right there, right? You don't want to go into Africa so much. What do you want to do, Anna?
You have to go around it.
Around it. So now imagine if you can put all this wonderful stuff from China in a boat, and you can sail around this and come back here. What's the first country that you get to as you're coming back to Europe? Hey! How wonderful is this geography lesson? Caleb, go ahead.
Well, you would end up in Portugal.
Exactly. If you go around Africa to get to China, which is the first country that's going to be in the middle? Does it look like it's in the middle? No, it doesn't look like it's in the middle, right? But if you're thinking about going around Africa, guess what? It's the first country you run into, so it is in the middle. Very unnatural, isn't it? Strange geographical puzzle. If you don't want to go this way, right? Because we're talking about not going this way. We're not going to go by land because that's too difficult, okay? We're not going to go by land. We're going to go by sea. So if you're going to go by sea and you're going to go around Africa, well, guess what? The first European country you're going to get to is Portugal. Pretty neat. So Prince Henry was inspired by the geographers of ancient geography and also even the Muslim geographers of the Dark Ages. He was thinking, maybe there's a way around Africa. Now, how are you going to find out? By reviving ancient geography only? Is that good enough? How are you going to find out if there is a way to get to Africa? Ancient geography is wonderful. It's a new science. It's born for the first time, so that's great. Is it perfect? Does it really tell us how to get to Asia? What do we need to do, Abby?
We need to find ancient maps and maps from other times and also...
No, that's not the answer. Is that how Christopher Columbus is going to get to America? What do we have to do? What do we have to do in this Renaissance? We have to be more like Johannes Gutenberg. What do we have to do? Can we rely on the old knowledge, as good as it was? No, not good enough. What do we have to do, Rosetta?
We have to try new things.
We have to learn for ourselves, yes. We have to revive not just the content of ancient science, but the method of it. We're out of time for some of these things. So what I wanted to show you was the map that was produced. Well, let's see here. Yes, first I want a couple things before we're done for today. So what we have here on this map is some of the early places that the Portuguese first went under Prince Henry to try to learn about Africa. So they set out from Ceuta and from Portugal. Prince Henry made a special school of geography right here at a place called Sagres, right in the perfect spot. The little tip of Portugal that's pointing out into the Atlantic Ocean, so he could look out into the ocean and be inspired and think about what's going to happen, how great things are going to be if they succeed. The very spot where you would want to be to look out at your goal. And so they set out exploring. And this map shows us, for instance, that 30 years after the conquest of Ceuta up here in 1415, It took the Portuguese explorers 30 years to get this far. 30 years to get down here. Which doesn't seem all that great, except if you realize that what we're talking about is right here. And we're talking about a distance that's greater than the entire length of Europe. So that's a long ways to travel for people in the Dark Ages, isn't it? Right? If you wanted to go from England to Portugal, you had to go this far. If you want to go to Portugal to the tip of Africa, you had to go this far. Well, that's a long way to go. It was hard for them to explore that much at first. So it took 30 years just to get to this spot, which is called Cape Verde. And it's called Cape Verde because it is the westernmost point of Africa. After you get to Cape Verde and you're trying to get to Asia, what direction do you get to go now? All this time, the Portuguese explorers are being forced to go that way. Is that where they want to go? They're not Columbus. Which way are they going? What direction is that on the map? Abby?
West.
They're going west. Yes, they're going south, but they're also going west. That's not where they want to go. Africa's in the way. It's a big obstacle. Getting down to Cape Verde here, thanks to Prince Henry and his explorers, was really good because after that, they could go the way they really wanted to go. Abby?
East.
They wanted to go east. China was east. This is China over here. Whoops, wrong symbol. Right? But China's over here. They want to go to China. China's east of Europe, as far as they know. Right? They haven't had any insights like Columbus yet. They haven't thought, hey, we can go east by going west. No, they haven't thought of it. We want to go east. So going west to the Portuguese explorers was not a good thing. But they worked hard at it, and they did their best to gain as much knowledge as they could about the world. And by the time they were done, they had gotten to kind of, this was the map that showed what people learned about the world before Columbus. A map of the world made by a monk in Europe named Frau Moro. And so, again, you can spot Italy right here, if you can. The dark, slightly darker part is water. Okay? Can you see Italy right there? I hope. Not sure Patrick can spot it. Can you see Spain and Portugal right here? Okay? And England and Ireland right here? Okay? And this continent is supposed to be Africa. Right? Well, it is Africa. Let me just annotate it a little bit better. Let me mark a couple of these things again. Okay? So right here, this is Italy. Right there. Okay? And this is England. My drawing's not perfect. And Ireland. Right? Okay? Spain and Portugal. Right here. Okay? So, that's Europe up here in this corner. Right? And over here is Africa. And notice what they have put on the map of the Renaissance. What did they put, Patrick?
They put some more parts of Africa, maybe even the entire West.
Uh-huh, exactly. They were really starting to become convinced because of their exploration that the Muslim geographers of the Dark Ages were right, that there was a way to get around it. They had managed to go all the way here, Cape Verde, and started working their way back. And now they were starting to wonder, maybe if we just keep working at it, we can get all the way around Africa. And we can get to Asia. It's not such a bad idea, right? They're going to have to keep on exploring, and it's going to be very hard for them. Eventually, they are going to make it. But, of course, if this was the only story of the Age of Discovery, well, we wouldn't even have American history, would we? Right? Is Prince Henry and his explorers, are they going to find America? They're going east all the time. They're trying to get around Africa. That's all they're trying to do, which is great. I don't think it's a bad thing at all, right? But we've got to wait for somebody else to show up, don't we? Before we're going to get an amazing change, completely different than this. So, on Monday, we'll see that. He's going to show up in our story, and he's going to change the world. And his name is Christopher Columbus. All right. So that's it for today, folks. Hopefully you're interested in what Prince Henry had to give to our story, but now you're eager because we know that Columbus is going to come into our story and he's going to do so much more. Okay, everybody. That's it for today. Thank you very much. Talk to you in History Through Art tomorrow. Bye for now.
Bye, Mr. Powell.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye.